Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Dawson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
I'm good, Chris. I have just turned on the lights to record this show, and I've just realised that I bought very cheap glasses. I broke my glasses when walking into a wall recently, and I grabbed my prescription from the opticians, and I said, you know what, I'm not going to spend 250 quid on new glasses, because that's how expensive they are, because it's a massive monopolistic racket here in the UK and pretty much everywhere in the world, to be honest. There's like one company that does spectacles, and they've got us all by the danglies.
Spectacles.
And I just went online, spectacles.com, and I went online and just bought some for 50 quid, and they're good and they're cheap and they're fine, but I've just realised I didn't plump for the extra kind of photosensitive coating. So I'm just noticing that on the YouTube you'll be able to see very reflective very reflective man, just constantly music. You probably can't see my pupil, so apologies, you can't see my beautiful brown eyes, dirty old brown eyes.
I remember when I used to work as a teacher, I worked with a Canadian guy, nice guy, big deep booming voice. Before he became an ALT, he used to be in glasses in like Toronto, in an optician's.
Oh, right.
And he was like, do you know all glasses companies are owned by one company? And it was like the most underwhelming conspiracy-esque
fact
story ever.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's true though, they are. I can't ever remember the name of the company, but there's like one fucking,
I think it's Italian. I want to say it's an Italian company, yeah, but I think that every single brand is owned by them, which is absolutely amazing, really. It is a big conspiracy.
Most clever Italians. Ferrero Rocher and glasses. Italian's gift to the world.
Do they make Ferrero Rocher? Ferrero Rocher sounds like a French product.
It's definitely Italian. Mm.
Is it?
Definitely. Oh. Come on. Yes, it is.
Is it? Take okay, that, right, Pete. Okay. I can hear you tapping away. You get that off the top of your dome piece, did you? Chris, I am proud to announce that my car is on my father-in-law's driveway.
Wow.
Finally, after all that time. I've positioned it onto his driveway. That's it.
With a crane.
That's all I've done. Yeah, that's all I've done. I've banged it onto the driveway, so it runs. I just need to do a few things to it to get it through its MOT. First things first, make it smell less of fags. It absolutely stinks of tabs. Cigarette smell. You know, we spoke about the thing that you always forget about Japan is that everything smells of cigarettes. Good God, this car smells of cigarettes, Chris.
It was previously a taxi, right? Previously,
I don't think. I mean, it was probably a chauffeur's car, I suppose. You know, it's in surprisingly good nick, I think. I was expecting an absolute junker, from the outside, the paintwork looks absolutely cracking. There's only a couple of things that need doing to it, I think. There's a suspicious message on the dashboard that I won't go into now, but I'll diagnose that at some later date and figure it out. But I think we'll get through the MOT. But it's going to take another 2 months to get through, I think. But it's all early indications is it'll get there, I think. But it's just nice to actually be in it. Actually, nice to be kind of doing stuff like replacing the battery myself and replacing the windscreen wipers and all that stuff. It's exciting.
Pete the Handyman. It's like Top Gun, where he gets to play around with his own jet, except it's not a jet. It's a ragged car from the 90s.
Ragged old car from the 90s.
Pro tip, when you're in Japan, right, don't ever get in the old-looking, crappy Toyota taxis, because they do smell like atrocious, like an atrocity. It's like sweat. And cigarettes and shit, and it's
That's
awful.
What it's all about, though.
No.
The old Toyota Crown Comforts. They're absolutely cracking. The older, the better, I say. And what I like, different areas have different decals and designs and stuff like that. Every little town, all the taxis will be black, or all the taxis will be that beautiful kind of Tokyo off-cream yellow beige sort of colour. Oh, I bloody love it. I love Japanese taxis. They're cracking.
I mean, if you're ever going to ride one, get in one of the big new London black cab looking ones.
Boo,
they're a lot more spacious.
Boring.
They smell nice. They don't smell like the 1980s, and you'll have a much better. I always feel sick when I'm in the back of one of the old ones because, first of all, they're really cramped. The seat is like in your face, and that helps you smell the cigarettes and sweat. And often the taxi drivers, you know, they're smoking, and then they sort of pull over in between jobs. They smoke away, chuck it. And that's why the car smells like Natsuki's ashtray. But yeah, I would get the nice big black cabs, and you will have a much more pleasant journey through Japan. Although they are bloody expensive. But I actually went and saw the... I'm not really a monster film person, but I went and saw Godzilla Minus One.
Godzilla Minus One.
I don't know. I don't like the name. It sounds awful. But it's actually really good. Have you seen it? Have you seen this Godzilla film, Minus One?
No, there's been a couple of sort of recent Godzilla films that have been reviewed incredibly well. Didn't Charlotte work on one at one point?
She did. She worked on Shin Godzilla, the new Godzilla. Like, Shin means new.
Yeah, critically acclaimed Shin Godzilla.
She helped the actresses practice their English. There was an actress called, I think, Satomi Ishihara. Really big, famous, you know, one of the biggest... celebrities in Japan, and Charlotte had the unfortunate, difficult job of trying to teach her to speak English. She spoke no English, right? And some producer on Shin Godzilla was like, I know what we need. Let's get, you know, the hottest talent in Japan and make her into this American character, right? American character. Mm. And nobody went, wait a minute, though, can she speak English? And then...
Let's get a Canadian in.
Well,
you've taught her French, you idiot.
Her English isn't so good. It's sort of... There was a lot of criticism, I think, when it came out. Like, it just sounded off. They should have just not done that. Just have her as a Japanese woman.
But you're effectively... You're not teaching... Charlotte wasn't teaching her English. She was teaching her, like, phonetic kind of pronunciation, I suppose, isn't it? Which is a completely different thing. Mm. It's like... there was I maybe mentioned it before, but there's an Italian song from the 80s, I think. Maybe 70s. Where they're sort of doing... an impression of English, and it sounds amazingly strange.
It's really good, yeah.
It sounds even to English tongued, it sounds like it's English, but it's just not quite. I do find that sort of thing fascinating.
Yeah, if you type in like nonsensical Italian English music video, you'll see what Pete's on about. But it's really
it's an
really
absolute
good.
Banger as well. Like, what a song!
It's better than Too Much Volcano, and it hasn't even got worse.
It is.
Honestly, yeah, no, I'd recommend Godzilla. They did a really good job. The special effect, I don't really get. I'm not one of these people who's like, oh, the special effects were amazing. It needs to have a good story. And it still had an all right story, but the special effects were genuinely pretty good. And I don't typically associate Japanese films with decent visual effects just because they lack the budget normally to have it. But apparently, there's a small team of folks working on it, and they did an amazing job. And it's the first film where Godzilla's actually kind of scary, because in the sort of Western recent ones, he's just a big walking dinosaur, and you don't really care. It's just like, whereas this one, he's genuinely terrifying and quite villainous, and I like that. I like that he's not some sort of... He's not a metaphor for atomic warfare. He's just an angry fucking dinosaur. He wants to kill people, and that makes it... fairly compelling kind of film in my book, but yeah, recommend it. Check it out; it's pretty good.
Nice, cool.
Don't know if it's out in the UK, but it's
I watched a film with who's the fella who was in He was Moriarty in the BBC Sherlock Holmes stuff, and he was also in Fleabag as well. He played the vicar, Irish bloke, Andrew something or
Andrew
other.
Andrew Scott, yeah.
Andrew Scott. He's in a new film. I'm typing it in. Oliver Strangers. A film about loss, mainly, I think. And history and your formative years. And good fucking Christ. Like most of my favourite films. Like Eternal Sunshine and Virgin Suicides and Noi Albanoi. Noi the Albanoi. They're all about like loss, and they're all sad, and they're not depressing, but they're sad and they're beautiful. And this film is about as sad and as beautiful as it gets. Highly recommended, All of Us Strangers. I think it's on it will be on Netflix soon enough. But I mean, yeah, it's really, really sad. Very London. But very sad. I recommend it.
But is it as good as a dinosaur smashing up Ginza in Tokyo? You bet it's
I
not.
I think that would have been, I think, in the third act, I think if the whole thing had turned into kind of like a Cloverfield rape. You know, like Cloverfield, like, you know when they sort of don't have, they can't get a film made, they just slap the word Cloverfield Lane or something into it, and it becomes that.
They do. To be fair, are we getting into film? This is just turning into film chat, but like... Film chat. 10 Cloverfield Lane, really, really good film, where it's set in a bunker with John Goodman as the most villainous man. Really good film, actually. Really good. Mm. And the original Cloverfield was good. And then
People had a lot of buzz to it, didn't it?
Ruined it.
Whenever they can't get film made, they just put Cloverfield on it. And that's kind of like a weird franchise now. Very strange.
Natsuki Movie 2, Cloverfield edition.
Yes, get Natsuki the film made with Cloverfield. Lovely.
A threadbare plot with this big fucking dinosaur rolling around North Japan. We got a story this week from Crystal, who says, "Hello, Chris and Pete. My other half and I have been watching Abroad in Japan for quite a few years now, taking your recommendations and planning our eventual trip. Thanks for all that you do. We finally have a story to share, as we got to fly out at the end of August last year doing the Golden Route, one day and one night in lovely Nikko, which I think I was the most excited to see. On our fourth day, just before going to Nikko, we decided to experience the delights of Golden Guy in Shinjuku and see if Tokyo's nightlife held up to its amazing reputation. We started the night well, hopping from one bar to the next, opting for the quieter bars, try and meet the locals, and practice our limited Japanese. Every single bar had the kindest people, each offering us snacks and giving us long stories of their lives in Japanese. We even got to try some of the infamous fugu fish in one of the cat-themed bars. There's a cat-themed bar in Golden Guy, my God. However, unbeknownst to me, the entire evening, my sneaky partner was telling our new drinking friends that he was planning to pop the question the next day in Nikko.
Oh
my God. Every time I came back from the bathroom, I would come back to a bar of shots and drinks from the very generous local. And knowing it's very rude to turn down a gift, I felt like I had to drink them all. Skipping forward to the next morning, I had the worst hangover in my entire life. I felt so bad for my boyfriend. Imagine sitting on the train in a beautiful countryside, ring in your pocket, all excited to see a pale, very tired girlfriend trying desperately not to throw up. Thankfully, when we got to Nikko and I ate a huge bowl of rice, I felt more human. Everything worked out, but the celebratory champagne was left untouched that evening. So I guess in this long story, I'd like to ask, is it impolite to turn down gifts of alcohol in Japan? Have you ever overindulged on a night out similar to me? Thank you so much, guys. Crystal, congratulations, Crystal. It sounds like it was a very painful and unpleasant proposal. But glad it worked out in the end. That's cool, though.
Was he just getting her drunk enough to accept the actual proposal?
She must have come out from the toilet every time, been like, wait a minute, why has the bar erupted into rapturous
drinks?
Applause?
Why is everyone high-fiving?
I don't... It's not like... You know, it's not rude to turn down a drink. I think it just kills the mood. Like, depends on the mood.
Throw it over your shoulder.
Yeah. Pour it into a bowl of rice nearby or something. I don't know. Sometimes I just go along with it. Sometimes I don't. But don't worry about it. Never worry about being rude by turning down alcohol. I'm trying to, like, not drink as much this year. And it's generally going well so far. Generally going well. I've had to turn down a bit of alcohol, but don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But we got a story this week about foreigners in Japan, or rather, no foreigners in Japan. this is a weird story. What's going on, Pete? Tell us about what's going on. Why is there no foreigners in rural Japan?
Christopher. Well, apparently, this is the title of the story anyway. Most Japanese outside major urban areas say they do not engage with foreign nationals. A recent survey has shown that Japanese people who reside outside the country's major cities do not regularly interact with the foreign nationals who live in their communities. The online survey by a research institute at Taisho University was conducted from October to November on Japanese residents in 59 cities, towns and villages across the country, where foreign nationals account 5% or more of the population. It did not include the 23 wards in central Tokyo, nor the country's 20 designated major cities. Of the 1,000 people who gave a valid responses, 83% said they do not have regular exchanges with the foreign nationals who live alongside them. And those who do said that their colleagues, their colleagues are non-Japanese people. And some people say that they're sort of neighbours. And only 21% of that collection of people said that they have foreign friends. Asked whether they want a higher percentage of foreign nationals in their community, half of them said they do not. Many citing concerns about increased friction or deterioration of the social order. Hard not to agree with that one. Japan has been opening up to more foreign workers to combat the slide in its working age and overall population. At the end of October, the number of foreign workers in Japan stood at a record high of 2 million, according to the Labour Ministry, which doesn't seem like a lot. Professor Yuka Tsukasi, Tsukasaki, who led the research, said that because Japanese increasingly rely on foreign nationals for labour, it must make the country a place where they can live comfortably and build long careers. We must listen properly to foreign residents and make steady efforts to bring about a harmonious society, Tsukasaki said. Chris, is it about the language? Is it about the culture? Is it just about people not wanting to get things wrong?
I think it just comes to, you know, there's so many rules and Japanese culture is so rigid. There's always a certain way to do things. And when you have somebody who doesn't know all that stuff turn up, then it causes friction, it causes stress. You know, people get quite anxious about things like that and not being able to communicate or whatever. So I think it all comes down to language, really. Japan, one of my greatest things that I thought was ridiculous or unfortunate is a lot of ALTs, English language teachers in Japan, you know, they finish their stint after 2-3 years, and there's never really much of an effort on part of the local authority or local government to try and keep those people in the community and get them to stay in some way. Because those are people who are ideally placed to then become a part of that area, right? And I always find that to be a shame, you know, people that have... You know, if somebody had offered me a job in the town of Sakata, where I used to live, after 2-3 years, and I said, oh, I don't want to teach anymore, what other options are there? If somebody had, you know, proposed something, I might have tried to stay a bit longer, because I was happy in my life there. And I think most ALTs are sort of forced to leave because there's just no opportunities made for them. There's not much effort put into keeping them there. And there is a sort of expectation like, good job, well done, now fuck off. And I think that's a real shame, you know. And I think it's Japan's loss when you've got people that have spent so much time integrating, making friends, and then you sort of...
And have a real love for the community as well. Have a real love
absolutely
for the culture.
Absolutely. I was probably at my happiest in Yamagata and Sakata because I felt I had a place in society when I was at my peak. I was doing... You know, I was teaching, I ran an Ikawa, I was involved in two international... International centres in two different cities. I did so much, and I felt like I had a place and a purpose. And then my contract as a teacher was up, and it was like, good job, fuck off. And it's like, oh, shit.
And at the end of the day, you're educating the community. You're educating the youth. And you're giving back to that community.
Fried chicken children. I don't know if I taught them anything of value, really.
No, okay, fair dude.
But at the same time, maybe it was on me, you know. Maybe the opportunities were there, but I would have needed to become really fluent at Japanese, which is a very hard undertaking, you know, especially in 2-3 years. So I don't know, really. It's unfortunate, but it's just the way it is, isn't it? It's a shame.
It's just the way it is. But maybe
I'm not
you
surprised.
Just need to... Maybe, Chris, if you'd just been a little bit more circumspect, a little bit more pleasant, we wouldn't have these figures. We wouldn't have these people voting, no, I don't want to hang out with whatever Chris Broad is in my village.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that it's 54% that cite concerns about friction and whatnot. But, I don't know, I think, you know, not necessarily about attracting more and more foreigners to come and move to Japan, but attracting... or sort of giving opportunities to ones that are already here. You know, there's a staggering amount of people teaching English on the JET program alone, I think in the tens of thousands, and if you could find ways to keep them here, if they wanted to stay here, if they want to, you know, hang around, then I think it'll be to everyone's benefit. You know, but, yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame, isn't it? But,
oh,
Japan.
Never mind.
Japan isn't perfect.
Japan, isn't it?
As we discussed with Miss Japan last week, and the debacle of all that stuff going on, and the notion of identity in Japan, and yeah, you have to take the good with the bad with Japan. I love it here, but I'm abundantly, you know, I realise that it's not perfect. There's lots of things Japan could work on, but it's getting there, and there's been a lot of positive changes in the time that I've been here, and they certainly are accepting a lot more foreign workers now. More than ever before, as we've also covered. So change is coming. But we'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, questions, and comments in the fax machine. See you.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Wow.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got from our listeners this week, Mr. Donaldson? Fill us in.
Listeners. Hello, Chris and Beat. This is from Stephen. Me and my boyfriend always book a nice break every September. We look for a mix of adventure and relaxation. And our past 2 trips have been island hopping in Greece and a train journey through Italy from Venice to Rome. We are very excited to be spending 3 weeks in Japan this September. My question is, there will be plenty of adventure, but can you recommend any locations to relax? We're flying in and out of Tokyo and are planning to hit up all of the usual tourist hotspots. Many thanks, Steven. Ooh, locations to relax, Chris. A little bit of R&R.
Locations to relax. Let's go to a hot spring, isn't it? Go and
Nikko.
Go and propose. Get drunk. Like Crystal and her partner. I went skiing last week. It was relaxing in some respects. It was also quite painful. But it depends what kind of relaxation you're after. But, for me, it's not so much the quantity of a holiday. I find, like, most people in Japan take, like, a weekend away and stay at a ryokan, an inn, where you can have, like, a nice meal and a good bath and sit in a hot spring. And for me, that's perfect. You know, I don't need to go away for, like, a week and sit on a beach in Spain, like Pete does. I'm happy sitting in a bathtub, splashing around, eating some salmon.
Sitting in your own bath, splashing around.
But no, I'd say, like, you know, go to Hakone, Kisatsu, hit up one of the onsens, get a nice matcha townhouse in Kanazawa or Kyoto, and spend a few days just, you know, living in a nice little neighbourhood, in a quaint neighbourhood of Kyoto. You know, things like that.
Got a lot of time for that. Lovely. That's idea. That. Beautiful. Yeah. Fantastic.
Got one here from Ando from Australia. He says, "Hello, Chris and Pete. I've caught back up on the podcast after my third trip to Japan. One thing that makes my trips memorable is coming across funny English phrases that have been slapped improperly onto a product or brand. That's basically what I built the entire Braun Japan brand off of originally. A couple of my favourites have been, number one, Daiso selling trash bins with catharsis written boldly on the front. What the fuck?
That is quite cathartic, putting stuff in the bin, isn't it?
I'm going to find that. I'm going to find that and put it in a video. And the second one was a clothing store seemingly named Everything is a Radiate, with their tagline, being like you is the number one. We're the number two option. What the fuck? That's a Pete Dawson-style phrase, that is. My question to you guys is, what's the funniest or most memorable usage of English you've encountered in Japan? Ando, from Australia. I saw one the other day that I can't repeat here because the video will get demonetized, but go and look at my Twitter and you will see a beautiful mountain and somebody wearing a shirt with an abhorrent phrase written on the back. And I don't understand. I don't know how that phrase is there. But it includes the word that sounds like ape. And I'll say no more. Go and look at that.
Oh, yes, it was yes. I remember that. Yeah,
so brilliant. Got one last one from David, who says, "I'll be coming back to Japan, guys, in the end of December for the 18th time." Bloody hell, David, you've been here. You've travelled to Japan more times than I have. "On this trip, I want to see more music shows, but I find it's kind of tricky to find them. The only thing that seems to be announced are the huge shows with the world artists. They're very expensive. From my experience, if you want to see local bands, it's mostly word of mouth. Do you guys like live music? What's the best way to get info on upcoming gigs? Best regards, David." Yeah, Taylor Swift was here the other day, and it was a big deal.
Yes, she quite famously had to get basically the last chopper out of Hanoi to get back to get back to the Super Bowl. I think everyone's obviously, you know, she speaks about her credentials as an environmentalist, she was obviously criticised for absolutely jetting it back, and apparently they had a plane on standby, so actually her carbon footprint is double what it should be. But hey, she's Taylor Swift, and apparently that's important.
I don't understand her music, but I think it's mostly not aimed at guys. Alas, not a big
fan. I think there's
still
a lot of people I know who really like a lot of lads I know who really like Taylor Swift, but it just does not. I mean, my age, my sex obviously ties into it a little bit, but I mean, you know, I like her sort of stuff, but I don't necessarily her. I just bounce off. It just seems quite, I don't know. There's just not enough important pop out there, maybe. I don't know.
If you listen to the lyrics of Bad Blood, my God, that's an awful song. Now we got problems. Now we got bad. Anyway. We've enough ranting about that. She's richer than God, and she'll be remembered long after we're dead. Woohoo. Music gigs in Japan. I'm not your man. I was envious. A friend of mine went to see Tatsuro Yamashita, and I didn't even know he was doing gigs, so I missed that. I always miss the gigs. I remember when I lived in Sendai, I walked past the poster one day, and it's like, it said, tomorrow, Sting is in town playing Sting's music. And then I had a friend who showed Toto around Sendai, and Hold the Line and Africa and all that.
Yeah.
And, and I felt really bad for her. She said she was guiding them around Sendai, and they got to the gig, and they were like, you know what, after the gig, let's all go out for a drink. And she was like, yeah. And then after the gig, she couldn't get back to stage because she didn't have any ID or something. They wouldn't let her back, so she couldn't go for drinks with Toto. So,
I had a similar experience with the band Biffy Claro once. It was very upsetting. in Portugal. What was I going to say? I've been doing this quite recently, quite a lot recently on the podcast. I've been going, what was I going to say? Like, usually I just barrel straight into a sentence and I don't worry about where I'm going to end up. But lately I've been really thinking about it, going, what was I going to say? Oh, dear. It's a real change. It marks a real sea change for Pete Donaldson. I don't barrel at the sentences anymore. I stop. I think. I sound like an idiot.
My favourite interview you ever did with a musician is probably Richard Ashcroft, because he was chatting absolute shit. And I remember looking at... the camera just cuts to you and you look like you want to throw yourself out a window. It's so funny.
It was that man who's always drinking Dunkin' Donuts, the Batman man, Ben Affleck. There's always a shot of him behind his shed or going into a back door in his house, just looking completely depressed. And now he's sort of playing up to it a little bit. I enjoy that meme immensely.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, yeah. Taylor Swift, didn't it? She sold out the stadium. I don't know why we're going on about Taylor Swift again. David, my advice to you is just look up the artist and see where they end up. I went to see Depeche Mode last year, and I wanted to see them in the UK. They'd sold out there. The only place they were playing was Norway. So I got a holiday in Norway out of it for 3 days, and I got to see Depeche Mode. And that was cracking good time. A cracking good time indeed. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys, to all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. And we'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.